James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Our churches and pastors were missing something. We enjoy Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and singing and fellowship and church socials and sporting events. We enjoy all those things. But the most difficult thing in your life undoubtedly is prayer. You know, the truth is, I had a college president that was much older than I. He'd be 100, about 20 now if he was alive. And he said, Brother Traper, when he's my age, he said, I have preached so much in my life that right now I don't need to study because I know what to preach. But he said, can I tell you something, son? I need to study. I cannot rely on my flesh. John 15, 5 says, for without me, you can do nothing. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did we spend as much time in prayer as we did going to Starbucks to get a cup of coffee? And I know it's difficult. You're in a hotel right now. I know it. With your family. My wife and I have never traveled together all these years I've preached. And one time she traveled and she said, the second day she goes, I'm in your way, aren't I? I said, oh, no, I love having you. But she said, I am. I have a routine and I can talk out loud to God. And I'm finding the older I get, the more ashamed I am of my prayer life. Do you pray, Brother? Sure, I pray. I have my prayer journal with me in the office, in the hotel this morning. And it's very extensive. Many of your names are on those, and you've asked me, do you pray for me? And you're on that list. I thank God for it. If you give me a track, I won't put you on a mailing list. I'll put you on a prayer list. If you don't want that or don't need that, don't give it to me. But I'm just saying, yes, I do pray. And it takes, I can't get through my prayer journal in the morning. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? I met God in the morning. When the day was at its best, his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. And all day long, his presence lingered. And all day long, he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness on a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered. And other ships were sore distressed. The winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. And I think of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine when I too had left the morning with a secret left behind. I think I've learned the secret, learned by many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning to have him through the day. Friend, do you pray? Pastors, that's our number one job. Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to the word of God and prayer.
Amen.
Oh, you cannot pay the right pastor without a prayer life. And I am not the model prayer warrior. Please, I heard you pray this morning. Just your prayer spoke to my heart so very much. I don't want it to be God bless the food and give us a good day in Jesus' name, amen. I want it to be that I actually have walked with God and I know God and God knows me and he hears my voice and I call out to him. Prayer is vital. It's urgent today. The only hope this country has is men of God that will know how to pray, not how to vote. And I will plan to vote. But they need to have a man of God in that city. They need to have a man of God in that church. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. Acts Luke 18:1. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians say, I would that all men pray, lifting holy hands before a holy God. Do you pray? Do I pray? 7 times in these 8 verses we read, We read of the word prayer. We see prayer in verse number 14, and prayer in verse 15, and prayer in verse number 16, and prayer in verse number 7, and prayer in verse number 18, 17, and 18. The effectual, that's a fervency. Yes. Fervent prayer. That is an energy, a work, an effort. It's easier for me to be at a work day at our church and work with a backpack on my back and a blower or a shovel on my. It's easier to do that for 8 hours than to pray for 1 hour. Prayer's hard work. It's agonizing work. It wears you out. And you come to the throne of grace and you look at all these requests. I look at these people's lives and it's just overwhelming. I have columns and columns. At one section of my prayer journal of just backslidden people. Some of which I held the day they were born. And I've watched them grow up and they're outside the will of God. I said to one of my son-in-laws, I said, now when I die, the first thing you do is you get that prayer journal. And I want you to shred. I don't want anybody to see it. But Pastor, I've got another praying page that just grieves me. The backslidden, yes. But I've got folks that I think profess to be saved. And I don't believe there's ever any knowledge and evidence of salvation. It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years.
Yes, sir.
I see what some people do when they get crossways with the church. Yes. And crossways with their pastor. And I'm thinking, dear God, and I've held off in so many years. I hold off and I hold off. And Lord, is it me? What is it? And I think they don't have any knowledge.
That's right.
I'm not a singer, but I could sing without the touch of God. I'm not the greatest preacher, but I can preach without the help of God. I tell you, I'm not the greatest organizer, but I can organize without the help of God. I can motivate, I can raise money without the help of God. But without me, ye can do nothing. I wonder what God wants to do. I wonder what revival God wants to send to my life and to my family and to my church. I wonder what God could do if I would just pray, call unto me, and I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Men must know how to pray. Pastors, our number one job is to pray, to intercede on the behalf of those people going into factories and going into airplanes and going into business meetings and serving, and mothers that are raising kids or working a part-time job to help the family, whatever it might be. Those little boys and girls, I go by the public school. Those kids are lost. They're in a heathen zone.
Right.
But it's my job to pray for that school.
Yeah, that's right.
And those children. And those teachers that are teaching godlessness on how to mutilate bodies.
Yes, sir.
I look at prayer today and I want to talk to you about prayer. The missing ingredient in the New Testament church. We have COVID became such a good thing for us instead of an adversary. It turned out to be a blessing. For 472 days, they shut us out of our church. We preached in the parking lot from what we call a stadium, much taller than this. You'd come up on a big old ladder up to there and had sides on it where the singers would sing. You had no choir for 472 days. And those cars were triple the length of this building, nose to nose, back to back, side to side, just right there. And then we had 9 tents around that place and fire pits, a cold winter. And God did something special. I'd go by our school a few blocks away. And when school was shut out, I'd see mothers in that little piece. We don't have much grass like this right here. Kneeling in that little grass and kneeling in a concrete sometimes with little children praying, God give us our school back. I watched men pray. You'd never hardly ever pass those many steps coming up to our auditorium on the outside without seeing on that concrete men praying, women praying, couples praying, children praying. Every night I had about 4 or 5 deacons that would meet together. They were organized and they'd get there about 9 or 10 o'clock at night and just pray. Yes. Every night. Because we needed God.
Amen.
America never faced anything like that. We needed God. Yes. And the need of your church is not for you to resign.
Yeah.
The need of your church is to find a place of prayer.
Amen.
What do we pray about? Well, Pastor, first I come to you. Pastor, do you pray? Paul said, night and day I pray for you. If you'll go through the scripture, you can see that all those Old Testament prophets, I won't take time, I have all the scripture for each one, all the prophets, all of them, I prayed for the people. I prayed for the people. I prayed for the people, Malachi. And Nahum and Micah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel. I prayed for the people and Hezekiah and Moses and Jesus prayed for the people and he wept over Jerusalem praying for people. John chapter 17, he prayed for himself and then he prayed for those that knew him and then he prayed for those that knew him not, the unsaved. Are you praying for people? When was the last time a Sunday school teacher got a pastor praying for that teacher? Was the last time a deacon had a pastor praying for the deacons? Was the last time staff members had a pastor praying? When was the last time you prayed? I'm thinking about Pastor the Great, and please, you're probably greater prayer warriors than I am. I'm not trying to attack God's man today. I am saying that we're missing it with prayer. That I could come boldly to the throne of grace.
Amen.
I mean, I can enter in.
Yes, sir.
To that throne of grace and obtain mercy.
Thank God.
And find help.
Amen.
In a time of need.
Yes.
I don't know about you preachers, but I'm always in need.
Yes.
I get to the point I don't want to answer my phone.
Always.
I get to the point I get my in the office, I see in my inbox, it says pastor, one word, pastor. It scares me to death. Because some heroes of the faith like to tell you off in a letter. I see a text coming up, I think, oh boy, what is this? Everybody has problems. And sometimes they try to figure out who I can take it out on. I watch it in people. I watch people at one time on fire for God and then mad at God. Mad at the church, mad at the pastor, mad at the things of God.
Come on.
And it's so wearisome.
Yeah.
I watch folks backslide. And instead of blaming them, I said, what did I do wrong, God? That family, that person, that man, that lady, that teenager has gotten away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brother Roloff said one day, I was in a meeting with him, and he said, you know, and I'm not saying I've got a huge library. He said, I've given away almost all my books. He was 68 when he died. That plane crash, he said, I've given away almost all my books, but I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I spend time with one book and one God.
Amen.
And I spend my day and then I preach in the morning, I preach in the afternoon, I preach at night.
Yes.
He said, I have to get something fresh every day for God, for these people.
Yeah.
When was the last time we wept over the erring one? When was the last time you wept for the people God's given to you? I've stayed at our church 48 years and I look over here and literally it's hard to believe. So many have stayed with me so long. And I look at every row and I remember when their heart was broken. And I remember when their heart was shattered. And I remember when their heart, you say, what kind of church you have? I've got the greatest church in all the world. But I can hardly go through a row without seeing. If you watch online, you see it, and the orchestra filled, and it's amazing. Yes, God's doing great things, but I tell you what, there's great, great needs. Pastor, are we praying for our people? Are we praying for them?
Good.
I could labor that, but let me ask you the second thing. Are we praying for our mate? I've not been at it as long as some of you in this room, but I've been at it a long time, over 50 years. I've heard many times, Brother Treber, can you talk to my wife and I? I'm pastoring over here and she wants out. And I'll say, what does that mean? Out of the ministry? Out of marriage. I wish I would have never heard those words, but I've heard them many, many times in 50 plus years. I don't want the ministry. I've watched preachers' wives move away from their husband and their kids, never to contact them again. Are you praying for your wife? I see your wife back there, Pastor, and God's blessed you and me with wonderful wives. But you imagine the attack that's on that lady's life. You imagine the attack. To get to him, the devil would like to destroy her. That's why you ladies never give your pastor's wife a discouraging word. Amen. What are you thinking? The devil's doing a good job without your help. Some of these wives I don't think are bad ladies. They just got sideways with God. They got sideways with the things of God. They got sideways with people being so childish and so temperamental and so easy to be offended. And they just get weary of it all.
Amen.
Pastor, you have to intercede for your wife. I love coming here, so I love preaching. I love going to churches, and I get there after I get off the flight. I love it. Got to get back on and go back home. I don't love that. I thought yesterday, okay, we had this mechanical. Maybe I'll drive home. Trust my driving more than I do the pilot, I'll tell you that. You know, it's amazing. I told my deacons this. I said, the older you get, when I was young, someone honk at me and my wife would say, what's their problem? Someone honks at me now, she goes, what'd you do? Any preachers like that? Yeah, you would raise your hand, but I had my older preacher said, deacon said, oh yes, that's what happens. And then we start criticizing women for the next 30 minutes. It's a great time. So that's why it's my one night a night, a month with the boys. We can say what we want, and we don't go home and tell our wives anything. We really man up then, you know. I'm excited. My wife gets to speak at your ladies' thing. She doesn't do that really. She's a great speaker. Places she speaks always on her back. But I put her through so much trial, Brother Ellis. You know what I'm talking about, Peggy, and you love her a lot. But life is hard.
Yes, sir.
Life is disappointing. Right. You invest in this person. You invest in this life. And next thing you know, it's in vain. Brother Green, with the same love and passion that some people have loved us, they turn around and hate us. A pastor's wife gets weary of that. Dear pastor's wives, we need you to pray for your husband. I thank God for the moments. My wife said it again last night. I'll be praying for you. Very special. When you're preaching in the morning, I know what time you, but you count on my prayers. Well, she's that way. It's a wonderful privilege to have a wife. It's a wonderful privilege to have a husband. Lay people, you're praying for your husband's going to the world. Are you praying for him? Your wife is, maybe it's different, but most of our ladies have to have a job. When a one-bedroom apartment's $4,000, it's a lot of money. And they take children in for daycare. What, you know the pressure that's under them all the time?
That's right. Amen.
The number one leading group of people right now that are moving into pornography are women. Our pastors, are we praying for our people? Pastors, are we praying for our wife? Pastors, are we praying for our children? You kids, you're growing up in a wonderful time, but I'm glad I'm not growing up in this time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They said the Generation Z kids, an article came out last week, the 12-year-old to 27, thereabouts, could be 11 to 30, but in that range. They said they're finding out they don't want a job. They don't want to work. When a person doesn't work, he never can fulfill something and be fulfilled in his life. 6 days shalt thou labor. They don't want to work. And they say they don't want any responsibility. And they're giving themselves over to video games. And video, that's their life. And play.
Yes.
Obedience is gone. Faith in God is gone. Thank God for you kids that are living for God. But can I tell you something? Our eldest daughter, 8 months from now, whatever it is, she's going to have her 25th anniversary. She's been gone longer than she was in our home. She's got 5 kids that are now out of her home. And growing up, 2 of them are growing up. And one's getting ready to graduate from high school in a few weeks. Let me tell you something. There was one time it was just me. And then God gave me a mate. And then 1 month short of 7 years, God gave us a firstborn child, and then gave us a second, gave us a third.
Amen.
Our eldest daughter, Tiffany's his pastor's wife in Southern California, Newport Beach, and our son pastors in Arizona. Our son-in-law, for the last nearly 20 years, 18 years, has been the principal of our Christian school. We have 14 grandkids. As I came to the throne of grace this morning, I'm praying, here's a grandson in Kansas, and here's a grandson, a granddaughter in Florida, and here's my grandkids in Arizona, here's grandkids in Southern California, here's grand, and they all have needs.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
My son sent up one of his boys, the 13-year-old, to come to youth, 14-year-old, come to youth conference last year, and he stayed with us. I met with them after sometime during youth conference. We sat down and had fellowship together. I said, Landon, I love you so much, and I pray for you every day. What can Papa pray about? What could I pray about for you, son?
Amen.
And he told me something that he wanted me to pray for. It's nothing vile or dirty or nasty or anything. It just said, Papa, will you pray for this? You know, I won't say this is a request. Some children, some boys are short and they want to be taller. I would pray for that. I went into ninth grade in school with 2,500 young people. I was 5'2", 115 pounds. I was the shortest guy in the school. And God tall'd me up. There's a southern word, tall'd me up. You had several southern words this morning in your introduction. You didn't even know you were doing it. I thought, that's so down home. I love that right there. I think we're going to enroll them in English classes here. A lot of you need to learn how to speak American. I'll tell you what. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You still, 2 years ago you talked goofy down here. You're still talking goofy. And I love it. I say, Lord, when we get to heaven, may we all speak Southern, please. I kind of like that. Real Southern, not these people that, hey, how y'all, you know, they moved from California, moved down here somewhere. They've been here 3 months. How y'all doing, Brother Jack? And you're an idiot. In Jesus' name, you know, I do it spiritual. Can you believe that? You've heard it. When they talk, don't talk Southern if you're from Boston. Oh, my goodness. People, where are you out? And he said, Papa, would you pray for this? That was about a year ago. You know what? God just started answering it. I could see it happening. I never tried with our kids to tell them, okay, what's not right in your life? What did you get from your Bible this morning? I tried to ask them, how's God speaking to you? What's he saying to you?
Amen.
I would say, what can your dad pray with you about? What do you want me to pray about? I didn't want to attack our children. I didn't want it to get to the point when they got married that we're out of that place.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I wanted them to miss their mom and dad.
Sure.
Yeah. Amen.
And Papa and Nana. And the more money we hand out, the more they miss us.
That's the truth.
That's the truth right there, brother. Oh, I love you so much, Dad. You got any more of that? My wife had this injury last year. 51 years of marriage, she's never had a toothache. Never been to the doctor. Never missed work. She's amazing. Hardest, strongest woman I know. And she's had two injuries and two surgeries and a broken ankle, a shattered heel, and femur and hip. And it was a difficult thing. A year ago last Saturday, and she's still working on all this stuff. But I'll tell you what. The thing that's brought us through that is prayer. The thing what we've got to remember in life is we've got to pray about everything. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Blessings all ours without measure. So pray about everything. John Rice wrote that. Pray about everything. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your church. We're out of time. Pray for your city. I claim streets in our city. I was out in the old downtown district on Saturday going door to door. And I pray for those streets. A lot of them are presidents' names, Washington and Madison and Monroe and on it goes. Lincoln. We don't have a Biden street. And I guarantee it, I'm not a Bidenite. But I go through those streets and thinking, that home right there, that home right, I doubt if they have any kind of prayer meeting. Our area is lost.
Yeah.
And I look at those homes, I doubt if they're having family meals together. You raise good kids from a table. Oh, our table time was so wonderful. Never able to bring up any conflicts. You know what Tabitha did at school today? Well, Tim would never do that, but the girls would do it for Tim. We have Tiffany, Timothy, Tabitha. So what if you had a fourth one? The end, all T's. We always had good music going. Not Keep On the Fire. I love Keep On the Fire. I love it. Let's sing it this week, but not during meal. I want to try to digest everything, you know. But we have just soothing music, Christian music going, and we'd pass the dishes around and then we'd talk to one another. We'd have conversation from the day what everyone did. No tattletaling. Just a good time together.
Amen.
And then when it was time to be done, they would ask to be dismissed. And they'd take their plates to the counter and come back and kiss their mother. Thank you for the dinner. And then it was time for them to get after the dishes. And time for me to sit in the chair with my remote. They didn't have remotes when they were kids. No, I wanted to be part of their life. I love playing every afternoon for about 30 minutes when I got home right before dinner with my son playing basketball or football on the front lawn. Just a little area, not a front lawn like you have here. Just throwing the ball, throwing baseball.
Good.
The girls would come and play basketball against us. My wife would say something still simmer on the stove and she'd play. If you have a family, you play together, but you've got to have to pray together. We had family Bible time, Pastor. I'm getting off the subject, but family Bible time, and I never felt like it was any good. I really worked at it to make it good. I tried everything. Old Testament Bible stories, New Testament Bible stories, Book of Proverbs, Book of Psalms, you know, the life of Jesus. And I worked at it. And when I ever say this illustration, if I've ever said this, my kids all say, please don't tell that. We had the best Bible time. And we'd sing together. And we'd have prayer together.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
I'll guarantee this. Our kids, grandkids go from 22 all the way down to 4, I think. The 4-year-old's probably not spending time in prayer. But every one of those kids, and most are in junior high school, and college, I'll guarantee it this morning, they all got in their Bibles, and they've all been to prayer. I'll guarantee it. Now the devil, he wants to destroy them.
Yes.
Oh, there goes, and they're all doing great. If you hear what there goes Treber's kids. There goes his grandkids. You understand that there's an old wicked one away against them?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Don't wave the flag against everybody else's kid.
Yeah.
You're sitting here, your husband walked out, your wife. Well, I'll tell you why that guy walked out. You better be careful.
Yeah, that's right.
I have no opinion about that. It's not my area.
That's right.
I've seen better men than me lose their wives.
Yes.
Better women than many women I know that have lost their husbands.
Yes, sir.
You be careful. You just go to prayer.
Yeah. That's right.
And pray for your city.
Yeah.
And pray for your church. Pray for your people. And pray for your mate. And pray for your kids.
Amen.
And pray for our America. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you, and seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. And him that asketh receiveth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened, he that seeketh findeth. Which of you having a son, if he ask of his father bread, will he give him a stone? Which of you having a son, if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more?
Yes.
Sir, Heavenly Father, give to them that ask them.
Yes.
I wonder if there is such a room in heaven of unanswered prayers because we never asked. We never asked. The last, I've been so much studying prayer the last month or two in my own life. I'm not preaching about it in churches. I was in a conference last week, did not preach this message, preached a different one. But I've been singing that song in the upper room. The upper room is found 3 times in the Bible, too, referring to the same occasion. And it's blessed my heart so very much. I've been in the upper room with Jesus sitting at his nailed, scarred feet. Oh, what wondrous love and mercy.
Yes.
Oh, what wondrous prayers I bring. It's a place where all may find real peace and comfort. It's a place for all the weak and weary. In the upper room with Jesus, fellowship divine and sweet. I'm not as good of a prayer warrior as you think, but I tell you what, I can sing and he walks with me. I know what it is to walk with him. And I know what it is to have a sweet hour of prayer. And I know what it is, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our what needs we often forfeit, all what needless pain we bear, all because we do not care everything. It's all beyond me. Everything's beyond me. Everything is beyond. It's way out of my reach. Can't do it.
Amen. That's right, preacher. That's right.
I can't be the right husband, the right pastor, the right dad, the right papa. I can't be anything that I need to be without, for without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
And today I'm just pleading with each and every one of us when we get to the point where we're burdened about these things, that we're burdened about our cities and our country. You find it all through the Word of God. You're burdened about our mates. The older I get, I love going to these churches. I got telling you that. I love going. I love these meetings, but it gets so hard to leave my wife. After that accident last year, just after seeing that happen, one, and then 5 weeks later, another one. And it's been a wonderful, the church has been so good. They've allowed me, I'm just 4 blocks from the church. I'm there all the time, but I've been able to study a lot at home. And then I get to be with her and care for her, and she's doing great. You'll see it when she's here. She's doing, you just saw her. But you know, you go from a wheelchair, she's never had that, to a walker, to a cane, and to therapy every day. It's been a hard year. And I get on that plane, and I don't know how to connect with the Wi-Fi and all that, so I can look at pictures. I see her. And I see our children. And I see our grandchildren. God's been so good to me.
Amen.
God's been so good to me.
Yes.
I close. Do you have a place of prayer? Where's your garden? I come to the garden alone. Where's your garden? Every area has its drawbacks. This area is such a blessing to me. I look at all this land. It's such an amazing thing that you can get out by yourself. It's a little difficult where we're at.
Yes.
We're in a campaign this week, every year this week before Easter. And this is going to be easy for us compared to you, because our doors are right there. We do 100,000 doors knocking on this week. But many of you are in a city of 5,000 and you go from farm to farm. If you could do 1,000 doors in a week, that'd be a miracle. It's different everywhere.
That's right.
So I have to find places I get alone. I have a study upstairs, or I can go downstairs in our house. I can go to the garage and walk with them. I have a study at the office. I get there and I lock the doors early in the morning, the dark of the morning. I can talk out loud to God. No one hears me. I can sing to him. I try to sing to him every day. I said, Lord, you know this is pathetic, but I love singing to you. I get on a bicycle, and Brother Cooper, you know where this is at. I get on that levee. And I drive 3.5 miles out on the levee on my bicycle, not trying to do it for exercise, just sort of pedaling. And then I get out on the salt flats. No one's out there. I can scream at the top of my lungs, and no one would ever hear me. The East Bay over here and the West over here. And that salt flats take you to the bay, and the bay takes you to the ocean. The ocean takes you to the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. I don't go that far. But I can go out there and pray, and it's quiet. I go out to the cemetery. We laid another one of our members to rest last Monday at the cemetery. Have several cemeteries in our area, but in our own city, I go to this particular one. I walk, and I normally stop at the graves of children, babies, and teenagers, and adults I've laid to rest. And I can pray. I can think about them, and I can think about needs. I can talk out loud. No one's out there. Are you praying? I know it's a conference. I know you're all jammed into one room. I know this morning maybe it was different. Please, you're shy. I didn't see my dad praying. Well, you're just getting everybody up and go, I understand that. I do. But are we meeting God? I can preach without God. And so can you. You can sing without God. I've asked all our singers this week for Easter especially. I said, please get on your knees every day and sing over your song and pray over your song word by word.
Yes.
I have a group that sings, and I said, please, we're singing Gone, the Stone Is Rolled Back, about maybe 12 singers. I said, please, I'm asking you, we've been practicing for weeks, would you please pray over every word this week, every day?
Amen.
I'm in a series on Sunday morning, Colossians, going verse 5. I'm loving it, but I can't get my Easter message. And it might be from that text. I'm in chapter 3, verse 4. I mean, that's pretty good on resurrection.
Yeah.
But it hasn't fit yet.
That's right.
I'm trying to figure it out on the plane yesterday. Lord, what are you trying to do? Because I don't want to just stand up and preach the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection. And I might. I want to have a message that God gave me.
Amen.
That's right.
Before we have an invitation, is it okay to have one? I don't want to be judgmental against you. I look at some of you people that are younger, or some middle age, or some older than I am, and I'm certain, because I know me, I'm certain you're a better Christian than I am. But I've been so convicted about prayer. I've tried to pray my whole life. I started about age 13. It's never been good. I see my camp books from 1965. My first one was 1960. I see my camp books from 1965. And our pastor and his wife taught us to have an hour with God and his word and prayer. And after you see my camp books, and I have my prayer requests. And then next you see I'm drawing pictures. I get so sidetracked. So easily I get sidetracked. My wife has told our church, my Sunday school class, I'm AD, whatever you call that. And she's right. I never knew I did this till a week ago. When I'm preaching, if I see a psalm book out of order, I'll fix it while I'm preaching. There's a little church house. If it's not straight, I straighten. They said, you did it last week, you straightened. I said, man, I'm having a good time in life. When I go to prayer, if everything is not right, I don't know why I brought so many, but this morning in prayer, I have two red pens and six blue pens, a 207 and 210, and I have this marker, and I had to have them all lined up. Now, if that's not QWCY, I don't know what is. I know I've got problems. And I can get out of order so fast. And I say, I did this one. I said, Lord, I'm talking to you, and here I'm straightening this. Could you do this? Could you pray out loud, pastors? Could we start this week where we get 15 minutes a day out loud? I have to do it out loud because my mind gets, Brother Green, what's wrong with me? Brother Andrews, my mind gets sidetracked. It just does. And I'll start praying about something, then I start thinking about it. Oh, how feeble. I want you to go 15 minutes a day. Try it for a month. Next month, add another 5 minutes. Let's stand together, please. Go ahead and play that, please. Our heads are bowed. Would you please come? And we need every preacher to say, I'll go 15 minutes a day aloud. Many of you pray a lot more than that. I know. God bless you. Every wife, you have to pray for your husband. The devil's real. He's going to try to knock him out of marriage and the ministry. Watch what he tries to do. I looked at the clock. I've gone too long. I'm so sorry. Pastor, you come, please.